Today is Sunday, June 6th, 2021, and just a few points on Peshe Urim that I want to catch up with. I mentioned Sheldon Sokol. Again, I don't recall if it was the Sunday class, the Monday class, but his exact date of death was in 2016. He was a year ahead of me in college, but he was my classmate in the Limudei Kodesh. And I have the greatest, the beautiful memories of what he did for Rabbi Lam and what he did for the yeshiva. Regarding Rav Chenich Fishman, something I mentioned years ago about he would never eat the last piece of chocolate cake because he wanted to rule over his desires. So Rabbi Grinstein writes to me that Baron Lichtenstein, when he wanted to give an unscheduled shmuis during the week, he always made it at 12:40, 20 minutes off learning time and 20 minutes off lunchtime. He spoke for 40 minutes. The students used to call it the 20-20 Seder, Sichat 20 al 20. And the question is why he took the 20 minutes off the eating time. So his daughter with Tony, in her chesed for her father, it's Reb Aaron's youngest daughter, named after Rebbetzin Tanya, she was upset with her father that he always delayed making Kiddush on Shabbos morning. And he said to her, Adam shedarush me'atzmo misovavav, shaharuach hi shetovil et hachomer, Shadam Yishlot al Hakeba Balalahafah, that we should be the masters of our stomach and not otherwise. And that's exactly Reb Chenich Fishman, that's exactly the Musa movement. Regarding Sabra and Shestila and all that went on in the story with the Rav, so Bill Gvirtz sent me an email, and I recall this now. I heard it from Manny Holza, that the Rav spoke with Julie Berman, who's the brother-in-law of Bill Gvirtz, and he told Julie, you convey my views to Menachem Begin about Sabra Shtila. And Dr. Gvirtz says, this message impacted Begin in my brother-in-law's opinion. So it's quite well known that the Rav is very upset with Sabra and Shtila, whether he knew all the facts, whether he was just being misled by the New York Times, but I stand with Menachem Begin, a guy, the Haggad a guy, and the Jew gets blamed. All right, it's history today. Interestingly, from Rabbi Avram Yehoshua, from the world of Satmar, from the world of Noach Shapiro, so I told the story about the Lalava Rebbe and the dream, and how the Avot appeared to him in the Gab of Toldat Aron Chassid. And he tells the following story. Harav HaKodesh Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Milublin, he was the Lubliner who Haya Rebbe Lublin. I said he was the Abbeitin. I think I was reading something, so it's not my mistake. Whatever source I was quoting, the mistake was made there. Anyway, when he was young, he had to run away, and he came to Lublin, and he didn't know whether he'd stay. And suddenly, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, he's sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning, and a man comes over dressed in a spudig and a bekesha, and he tells him, it's the end of your going into Gullus, remain in this city. So the future Rebbe asked him, who are you? And he told him, Ani Mishama HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lech Lecha. And he understood, the man says, I'm the one that the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, Lech Lecha, that it had to be Avram Avinu, and he was dressed in a shtreimel and a bekesha. Let me just see, a spudik and a bekesha. And the Pashkebeka Rebbe, who told the story, said if this story would have happened with the Chatam Sofer, Avraham Avinu would have appeared in a Tzilender v'Shnipsel, if I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know what that last word is, but a Tzilender I know very well. But what it means is we each saw the Avot in the dress of the way Gedolei Yisrael in our era dress. Then I want to mention, I mentioned Kliach Yad about people, Rav Yosef Weiss, his buttons going the opposite way of everyone else, and he told me he did it to differentiate from Goyim. Luvish Goyim, based upon the Medrash, Loshinu et Luvisham. So I got a number of comments from people that there's much more to it. I'll read to you the one that's clearest. No, it has to do with the idea that the right side, which represents Chesed, should always be on top of the left side that represents Din. And many, many comments, examples. Halacha l'maisa, I'm not exactly an expert in Kabbalah, but I do recall my Rebbe telling me it was Levush Yehudi Lahavkin Beino Levein Ha'akam. Now, we're in, and both reasons can be correct. One doesn't exclude the other, obviously. Yitzchak, did you get what I left for you at your door? Okay, good. You're saying yes, right? Okay, great. And did you get from Rav Grunstein the material on the Shaila you asked with the... Okay, you have that too. And you see, it's already a Machlekes HaPaiskim. It's a fascinating issue. And the slippery slope is involved as well. Now, we're in the middle of some very fascinating tshuvot on living in the big world beyond us. How do we act? How do we integrate? And the question we dealt with at the end of last week's shiur was a classic question. Can we wine and dine with non-Jews? And we're talking where the food is strictly kosher and there's a separate table and there's a rope around the table. No one can come and bring something non-kosher and there's a guard standing there. And we gave an example, a block party, which is a classic example. Again, not everyone in the world knows what a block party is. Yomo in Russia, Yomo says in Russia it didn't exist. In Russia, I'll tell you, under the communists, the era I knew, I can't speak about today, but I spent many, if you put together our various trips to Russia, I spent a few months there, Malka and I. And people didn't talk to each other. They're always afraid. You rode on the subway, the metro, on a bus. It was totally quiet. When we came back to Israel, it was an adjustment again because you ride, you talk. People, a grandmother will tell off a young mother, the baby's not warm enough. You should have a sweater. Where are the stockings, etc. Everyone buds into your business and gives advice. In Russia, under the communists, it didn't exist. And you rode in the metro, it was totally silent. So I don't see them having block parties. People just afraid, informers. But Rivani Shalalem in Borough Park, wherever the Italians lived, in Wellsburg, Newark, wherever the Italians lived, block parties are part and parcel of the scene. And according to the source I cited last week, I cited the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chet Amid Aleph, and I cited the Shulchan Aruch. I'll give you the source again. It's in Yoredeya, Kufnun Bet. And there's just the first Sifkatan there. It would appear that it's entirely forbidden. You should try to avoid it. Do whatever you can not to be involved with the Gentiles eating and drinking together. Now, the whole basic concept here, obviously it's not, it's alluded to already in the Torah that will influence your children, but the whole basic concept is to avoid intermarriage. And, you know, people eat and drink, that's where you let your hair down, that's where you're happy, boy, girl, man, woman, we're only human beings, etc., etc. And this is why Chazal wanted these distances. I want to go one step further. What we spoke about last week in the Shulchan Aruch and everything we quoted, it talks about eating and drinking. that Ovid Kochavim Hosem Mishtel Chupat Benoa Bito Asur Li Yisrael Le'echol Shem. That's the halacha that the Ovid Kochavim is making a party, making a block party, making a wedding, making a very an engagement party. You can't go, you can't eat Me'ikar Hadin. What's interesting, and Reb Menashe Klein deals with this, and there's a tremendous amount of literature on these topics. The Beis Yosef is filled with sources. You can do it very easily, and I'm sure it's already been done. You can do a PhD thesis on this very topic. You take the wine alone. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, my classmate, Dr. Grach, his work alone cites endless sources on the interrelationship between the Jew, the Gentile, the wine, the industry, the drinking, the kashrut, how do you guarantee the caskets that the wine is put in. Then you look in the Shulchan Aruch, go back to Yoredeya, Kuf Mem Chet, and Sif Katan Aleph. Actually, it's the entire siman. I don't want to quote the whole siman; it would take too long. But I'll quote the first part of it, and I'll quote Sifkatan Ket and Sifkatan Yudbet. And here you're dealing with a different story altogether. But Meinyan Liinyan Biotou Inyan, you're talking about greeting a Gentile on the day he has a holiday, and. I'll quote to you from the Shulchan Aruch. It's all based upon the Gemara. Shloshe yamim lifnei chagam shel ovdei kachavim asur likach meichem v'limkolechem davar hamitchayim. Mutal limkolechem davar sheni mitchayim ad yom chagam kemo yirakot v'tavshil. What are we talking about here? That you're not allowed to do business with a non-Jew 3 days before Chag, 3 days before Christmas, 3 days before New Year's, 3 days before Easter. Who knows what type of Chagim the Ovdei Avodah Zarah had. Not allowed to do business. All right, something that won't last till the Chag, that you can sell to them, vegetables, tafshil, whatever that means, a fresh cake with whipped cream on it. It's time limited. Why? Why is this prohibition? What does it come from? And I'll quote to you from the Taz, but it's also based upon Shas and Paiskim. Kulu mishum di azil model avodat kachavim biyom edam. And it's very simple. You do business, you give him good wine to drink, Chaim Soloveitchik, we produced it, the industry. You give them good cake to eat. Besofa shel davar, they're going to thank the Avodat Kachavim. They're going to thank whatever they believe in. Thank you, Master, for giving us such achievement that the Jews respect us, the Jews honor us, the Jews contribute to our holy day. And what's happening here is you're adding to their joy and celebration. And it goes even further. Tell me. Take a look at Sif Katan Tet. Asur likanes leveito v'tachavim biyom chagol v'litein lo shalom. Matzu b'chag muta avol yomolo b'safa rabah. Uva Kovei Drosh. Very interesting halacha. Christmas, you meet your next door neighbor, you're not allowed to say to him, Happy Holiday. Now you just think for a minute what we're talking about. How many people have Jewish businesses and 80% of their clientele are non-Jews? And Christmas, New Year's, you send out cards, holiday greetings, publish ads, and Mayika Hadid, you tell him a happy day holiday. What does that mean? It means I a Jew am acknowledging that you have a wonderful holiday in honor of Jesus, Jesus' birth, Jesus' crucifixion, which is not so good for the Jews Easter time. New Year's, Ov Day of Edizara. Could you imagine Dov Zakheim is downtown Newark when the area changed, Bergen Street, etc. And you have the pagans, the new generation, and they're celebrating and drinking, and Dov walks in and says, Happy Holiday. Oh, they freuen sich. Even a Jew whose parents survived from Litta, they're wishing us a happy holiday. Look how great and wonderful our religion is. And if you meet him by chance, you know, I don't have to go, meet him by chance, maybe you have no choice. So say to him, Al Yomalo Besafa, Abol Yomalo Besafa Rafa, Uba Kabadrosh. You know what that reminds me of? The halacha on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, it's the same halacha. You have someone in Amaretz, a Jew meets you. I got to tell you, at the Kotel, it's very difficult on Tisha B'Av because the tourists are all there and you'll see tourists meeting each other. Oh, Sammy, how are you? It's Tisha B'Av, idiot. He's embracing him. They forget it's Tisha B'Av. They're so happy to meet, to see. Oh, wow. A Talmud of mine, we met at a Lo Aleinu in a house of mourning on Friday. I hadn't seen me in years. He was so happy. He made a Shechiyonu. I tell him, wow, all right. I can understand that feeling. But the halacha is, if an Amoret says to you on Tisha B'Av, good afternoon, happy to see you. So you're supposed to respond exactly like this, Safa Rafa. And just go on, it's Tisha B'Av, you can't greet. So you see, one halacha after another here. But then you come to halacha Yudbet. And listen to me carefully, what I'm touching upon, this is the beauty of Bernard Verrill Graduate School, and the beauty of my knowledge and friendship with Chaim Soloveitchik and having known Professor Yaakov Katz. It opens to you a whole world that you never heard about in the pure yeshiva sheyua. And of course, Professor Yaakov Katz was world famous for his work in this area. The interaction of Jew and Gentile and how it influences the halacha. And don't misunderstand me. There's no way that you can influence an Issa D'Oraita. But when you're dealing with Divrei Rabbanan, Dvarim de Rabbanan, there are other klalim, B'makom Tzal lo gazri Rabbanan. And here you come to Halacha Yud Bet, you're introduced to an entirely new concept. Take a look. Yesh Omrim. Shein kol ha-davarim elu amurim ele bi-otozman. Avo bizman hazeh, einam bikiyim b'tiv elilim. Lefikach mutra laseit v'latet imachem b'yom chagam u'lahavolt v'chol shah ha-davarim. We're just beginning here. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Eli, what is the Shulchan Aruch saying? Here's the Shulchan Aruch, and it says after 11 previous little sifim, all saying it is forbidden, negating, prohibiting contact with Gentiles before the Chag, giving them merchandise, selling them merchandise, wishing them well, wishing a good year, and suddenly the Shulchan Aruch comes along. All this applied in previous generations when they were really believers and they really understood their idols and they cared about their idols and they worshiped their idols. But nowadays, it's all a farce. They don't really believe and they don't really believe the idols have power. It's minig apotechem biyadam. And if so, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to deal with them even on Christmas, even on New Year's. They're not really going to praise God and thank God that a Jew sold them 12 beautiful bottles of grade A wine. They're gonna enjoy themselves, get drunk, all in the name of religion. All right, this is very fascinating. And look at the Ramah. If you think the Shulchan Aruch is mekil, the Ramah goes one step further. Vafilu notnim hama'ot lakonim enosim mehem tikrovot o noya lilim. Ela ha-kohanim ochlim v'shotim v'hem. And let me tell you, this is fabulous. Because Eli just asked me, all right, Rebbe, I can understand the average Gentile is not so pious and not so frum, and you just got off a plane, you flew from Florida to New York or from Chicago to New York, and you wish the staff happy holiday. All right, how much do they believe in Christmas? They took, you know, the CH out of Christmas today. How much is New Year's a religious holiday? But imagine, Eli says, someone goes to his local priest, right? And you give him a gift, a big, beautiful box of Barton's candy, and it's Christmas time. And even that, the Ramah says it's muta. Why? Very simple. Look what he says about the priest. I hope he's not describing rabbis. He says, the priest, they don't give it to the church. They don't decorate the Christmas tree with it. All they do, ochlim v'shotim bo, they eat the cake and drink the wine and they have a good time. And they're blessing the Jews that supply them with the finest liquor, cake, candy, etc. Wow. This is one part. This is one part. And then the Ramah goes further. And the Ramah introduces a concept which is basic to all Christian, Jewish, non-Jew, Jewish relationships. V'od ispe itbe mishum eva if im nafrish atzmam behem meyom hagam ואנו שרועים ביניהם וצריכים לשאת ולתת עמהם כל השנה. And here is the most basic concept of all. We can't cause enmity. We have to have proper, decent, friendly relationships with the non-Jews among whom we live. And if it's not an Issa D'Oraita, if it's a chashash, you're going to give him cake, you're going to give him wine, he's going to praise God that the Jew is so good to him, Mishum Eva is more important. We have to have proper relationships. If I can make a simple comparison, if you take the Gemara, you're not allowed to talk with anyone to say good morning, how are you, before you daven. Kodem shadam mitpalel adamo, silence is required. Nowadays, every morning you meet people, good morning, how are you? Good morning, how are you? The Aruch HaShulchan discusses this, and he says, at the time of Chazal, people didn't talk that much. People didn't talk, they were more silent, less friendly. They went about their business, they went to shul. You don't go out of your way to greet anyone. Nowadays, it is considered proper deportment. When you meet anyone, you say, how are you? The words of the Aruch HaShulchan, Tzafretava. He says, even to non-Jews, Chazal already stressed, Gedoleha Tanayim Amorayim Hayu Makdim Shalom Lechol Adam. And today, when you say good morning, it's just part of culture. It's like waking up, putting on your shoes, tying your shoes. It's not an affront that you're putting someone before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way a person has to live in a normal lifestyle in accordance with the civilization in which he finds himself. And this is Mishum Eiva, that you don't want to put yourself in a position where the Gentile will hate you, will have enmity, will have contempt. We have to live with them in a neighborly, loving fashion. And I have to say, this is a very, very powerful thought. And it applies, those of you familiar with the Gemara and Gittin, we bury the Gentile dead, right or wrong. We give alms, we give to the Gentiles as well. It's an open Gemara. Everything we do for Jews, we do for Gentiles. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, what I told you about last week in the Monday class, that Dr. Joe Kamenetsky is visiting Reb Yaakov, comes into his house, and there's little packages of candy. What's that for? Halloween, trick or treat. The kids are going to come around. All right, this is exactly the halacha of the Ramah, that you don't want these kids to walk out and say, dirty Jew, cheap Jew, niggardly Jew. Now, I know Herbie Maltz is sitting there and saying, no matter what we do, it doesn't help. It's an open mechilta. I've spoken about it many times. Halacha Esav Sonei LeYaakov. And I often say, how does a medrash use the word halacha? But it's like a halacha. It's immutable. It's something you can't change. It's, all right, this is true that we have anti-Semitism in the world. No one knows it better than anyone who went through the Holocaust. And today's Jerusalem Post, there's an article. A lady wrote an article that what's going on in the world today, now I can understand how the world stood by and let 6 million Jews perish so brutally. And now I can understand it when I see what's going on in the world. All this is true. But nevertheless, there are exceptions to the rule. There are Hasidei Ummat HaOlam. There are Gentiles who gave their life, were caught by the Nazis, executed because they saved Jews. There are Arabs who risked their life, even in Hebron 1929, saved Jews. So one has to be careful. Don't go with the assumption everyone hates us. Go with the assumption every human being is created in the image of God until proven otherwise. Lifts up a rock to throw, I would absolutely shoot him. It's the greatest mistake this government and previous governments have made, that there's no fear of throwing rocks which kill at Jews. But we have to go out of our way, Mishum Eva, Kavod Hadadi, reciprocal. Honor among normal people breeds honor. And by the way, I put in parentheses, we have a different problem today. The New York Times, Haaretz, you have self-hating Jews who do not want a state of Israel, they want a state of all people. You know what's going on, I don't have to elaborate. The new government that's being formed, Bennett's thinking, and Rakefet hit the nail on the head, in my humble opinion. Who do you identify with more? Meirav Michaeli or some Jew, a Toldat Aaron Chassid? But with Goyim, Mishum Eva, Klal Gadol Amru B'Torah. And the Ramah goes further. V'lachein, im nichnas le'ir, if a person, a Jew, was traveling, came into a city, and he found the people matzum smechim biyom chagam, and he finds they're celebrating, the Ramah paskins, yismachim achem mishum eva, you have to rejoice with them, not to create enmity. Now that's, wow, what does that mean? Imagine you come to a city, and they're dancing on Christmas. I don't know how Gentiles celebrate Christmas, but all right, we dance Hanukkah, Purim. It's a big shaila how we dance on Shabbat and Chagai, and I've spoken about it. I'm not now prepared to go into the Lumdis, the Shugin Beitza, the Tosfat, etc. But never forget that I asked Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Koren Lesson, Yitz, I asked the Mashkiach, Vi Tanzmin Shfuas Nacht, I quoted the Gemara in Beitza. And I'll never forget the Mashkiach's answer. He didn't bring me sources, didn't refute the Taisfas. He said to me, "Mem getanzt in Slabotka und der alte und der Levush Mordechai haben uns nicht angemerkt. We danced in Slabatka and neither the Mashgiach and neither the Rosh Yeshiva commented, made a correction. And that's what Torah is all about. I need not tell you, I write about it in Washington, but you come in, they're dancing. You got to join them, dance with them, show you're happy for them. Mishumeva. Wow, what a concept. All right, Mikomakom, at the end of the halacha, the Rama says, Baal Nefesh Yechak Milismoach Imahem Im Yechol Asot Shelo Yiyelo Eva Badava. And here it's exactly what we spoke about last week. Someone who's taka pious, more pious, bal nefesh, if you can get away with it, if they won't be offended, if you have a way of disappearing from the crowd in a way that no one will notice, obviously that's better than dancing with them on Yom Chagam, but only a bal nefesh. Now, the question of a Baal Nefesh, I need not tell you, we've spoken, it comes up in many, many different contexts. And the whole Shiloh with the Erev on Shabbos, if you can build an Erev in a big city, 600,000, an Erev which is only a halachic fiction, not real doors that close at night. So you all know the Bir Halacha, we spoke about it in great depth in this classroom. Baal Nefesh Yachmiah. No, who has the right to say he's a Baal Nefesh? The minute you say you're a Baal Nefesh, you're a Baal Gaiva. You follow? So it's not an easy question. I would say everyone knew that Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein didn't carry on Shabbos with not Somach on any Erev. On Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, there was never, no one would say he's a Baal Gaiva. He taka was a Baal Nefesh, you had to know Reb Aaron well, you had to know his soul. But the average Jew like us, when we're machmir, it's gaiva. Wow, Baal Nefesh. I don't know, it's a difficult question. How do you judge the difference between Baal Nefesh and a Baal gaiva? I know Rav Amital had a lot to say about this, Rabbi Grinstein, I'm aware of it. But this is the halacha. Ulekeinim sholeich daron, the Rama goes further. If you send the gift over to Chachavim bizman hazeh, biyom sheyesh lechem siman, im yagia lechem daron b'chag hahu, im efshar lo yishlach lo mi ba'erev, im lo yishlach lo b'chag atzmo. Imagine, the minig is you send the gift. This is the person you do business with. The billions of dollars a year worth of business. You're a Jew, he's a guy, he sends you before Rosh Hashanah, who knows what, before Pesach, endless gifts. You have to send him a gift. So if you can get the gift to arrive the night before the Chag, that is better. But if it will only can arrive on the Chag itself, Mishum Eva, 100% the Rama Paskins, you are allowed. So, what do we see here? And Rav Menashe Klein raises this problem. We see on one hand, when it comes to eating and drinking with the Gentile, we are much more machmir. The concept of Mishum Eva plays a very secondary role in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that we quoted last week. When it comes to the question of, I would call it, human relations, they're having a party. It's their holiday. Wish them well. Give them a gift. You see the Rama. Wine, cake, candy, bless them. Mishumeva, absolutely allowed. I would say even recommended if you have daily ongoing contact and can't slink away quietly, secretly, then there's no Mishum Eva. But, wow, two different concepts, eating and drinking, wine together, tables together. Mishum Eva plays minor role. Wishing them well, Tzafra Tava, Mishum Eva plays a major role. The Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch all raised this issue, Rav Menashe Klein, and the answer is very simple. Yomo, do me a favor, turn on the air conditioning, get a little air in the room. We can't open the windows because there's construction going on down the road, and it makes a lot of noise. Okay? Good. What is the difference? The difference is very simple. Eating and drinking together, that's friendship. That's when the barriers fall. That's when you get drunk. That's when your defensive mechanisms break down. Let me tell you what happened to me at the age of 23 in the rabbinate. Here I am, Lower Merion Synagogue, the second rabbi there. And it was not an easy year for me, as you know. And I'm giving a drasha. I believe it was Pashat Mishpatim. And I'm developing an idea that I heard from the Mashgiach, Rav Lessen, that an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananit. And the Balei Musa developed the idea. It shows the lowliness of a man who robs, who has to be sold as an Eved Ivri. So the Torah stresses he has negated the greatness of his soul and he's permitted to marry a Shivcha Kananit. Not even permitted, it's more than that. The Adon can force him, if he already has a wife, to marry a Shivcha Kananit. It shows the man has come down. He's not what he was before. His Kedushat Yisrael is impinged upon. Something is lacking in him. It's a sign of his shiflet. And I'm giving this drasha, and some professor yells out, Marilyn Monroe, this happened to me. Marilyn Monroe, Ellie, you're looking at me. When I was growing up, if you wanted to say a beautiful woman, you said Marilyn Monroe. That's the atmosphere that we lived in. I remember when she committed suicide, people were, on the Grand Concourse, all Jewish yet, people were sitting shiva on the streets of the Bronx. Well, when he yelled out Marilyn Monroe, that was the end of my whole sermon. Everyone was laughing, everyone, they would love to eat and drink with Marilyn Monroe. Actually, a Jew finally did eat and drink with Arthur Miller, right or wrong. And this is why there's this tremendous difference. Mishum Eva becomes a major factor when it's just the question of saying, hello, happy holiday. Keep well. God should bless you. Have joy from your children and grandchildren. You say to the non-Jew, let me teach you a word that we Jews use. Have nachat. Nachas. I think the New York Times may have an occasion used it. Have nachas from your grandchildren, from your children. The guy's face lights up. Certain words, chutzpah, international today. All right? But eating and drinking, rejoicing together, good wine, good liquor, wow. Hashtiyah kedat, anal nes, assimilation into marriage. Much harder to be makil if it's a question of that type of social interaction. But when we talk about greeting them biyom chagam, giving them a gift, and then walking out of the house, there already eiva plays a much greater role. As a postscript comment before I show you the next source that Menashe Klein quotes, Lo Aleinu, and this is crucially important, the world in which we live today, I've often said, Mishum Eva doesn't only apply to non-Jews. It applies to Jews as well. One of the Talmidim sitting in front of me, a week ago, Shabbat was in Tel Aviv. And he spoke in the shul Friday night in Hebrew, which I'm happy to hear that, because it's very important that reaching out in Tel Aviv has to be in Hebrew. You're dealing with their mentality, their crowd. Even the slang is important. I always, you know, in the army, they heard my accent, but the minute I threw in some slang, they wanted to kiss me. I'm one of the boys, one of the crowd. Now, Shabbos afternoon, he spoke again, and this was for Anglos. And one of the ladies who came to the shir came from the beach. She was still wet from the beach. So, all right, al pi halacha, maybe he should have opened his mouth and said, it's Shabbat, how are you allowed to go to the beach to swim, to get the bathing suit wet, the towel to dry out, to replenish the oilam? So many surim, the rabbanan, the oraita perhaps. Mishumeva, the smartest thing he could do was say, Shabbat Shalom, I'm very happy to see you here. And if some kanoi came over to the lecturer afterwards and said, why didn't you wipe her face in mud? You have to say, what would it have accomplished? You get much further with honey than with vinegar. And it's a sad thought, but today in this world, Mishumeva, you have to low-key, smutridge at times shoots from the hip. A politician cannot allow himself, and a Rebbe, by the way, a politician and a Rebbe cannot allow himself the luxury of shooting from the hip. Need I remind you of Mori Rebbe and his comment on Bartons with the corn syrup, Avada Tominish, and what went on afterwards. Okay. Now let me go one step further. Where do you find a major, major source that tells you you can't eat, you can't drink with the Gentiles? And here I'll tell you a Rebbe's story on a guy named Aaron Rakefet. It just happened. Those of you that are Chabotnikim will identify with me. I know, you know, I wish I knew Tanakh by heart, Nach by heart, but, you know, in yeshiva was never stressed, although on my own I've gone through Nach many times with many mefarshim, right now I'm doing it with Dat Mikra. So I know the story of Chizkiyah HaMelech, to just capitulate it quickly. He was ill, going to die, didn't want to marry, God was angry at him, didn't want to have children, who would be Rishayim, and he's told off, Yeshayah HaNavi tells him off, and who are you to go into the secrets of the future? You have to do what a Jew has to do. And finally he recovers miraculously, and a great non-Jewish king comes to see him. He's the first time that anyone was so sick that someone recovered. Until then, when you took ill like this, you died. And Chizkiyah was so happy to see this non-Jewish king that he showed him around, showed him his treasures, showed him everything in the Beit HaMikdash. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was very upset with him. And as a result, the son that came out of him was a Rasha Marusha Menashe. And I wanted to find it in Nach. And I took out my little Tanakh that I got when I finished basic training at the fallout ceremony. It's a very Tanakh that's very dear to me. and I opened it up, would you believe it? I opened exactly to the page of this story. Sounds familiar to Chabotnikim with opening the writings of the Rebbe when you want to get an answer? All right. Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf. Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf, beginning on Pasuk Yud Bet. Be'etahi shalach boroldan baladan ben baladan melech bavel sfarimu mincha kiskiyohu. Kishama kichalach kiskiyohu. And then he heard him, he covered. Vayishma leim kiskiyohu. And they came to visit him and he heard him. Ve'yarem et kol beit mechachot et ha'kesef et ha'zov et ha'besamim et ha'shemen et ha'vet beit keilav et kol ha'shen im tzabi ot sveltav. Lo haya davar asher lo hera Chizkiyahu beveito uvechol memshalto. Showed him everything, all the secrets, his bank account, his social security account, his pension account, every type of secret. Vayava Yishayo Navi Lamelech Chizkiyahu. Vayomrei love, ma'amruna shemelu, ma'anyevo alecha, who are they, why? And Chizkiyahu tells him, and the Navi rebukes him, why did you show them all this? And he neyamim ba'im, v'nisa kol ha'shebe ve'techa, ashatzru avotecha, and everything you have, everything will be destroyed, everything will become carried into exile. And look into the Ralbag, why was God so angry at Chizkiyahu HaMelech? And he explains, because instead of telling the non-Jewish king, I owe everything to God, God did a miracle, God is great, God is wonderful, he stressed, HaKochi V'Otzim Yadi Asuli Atachayel HaSeh. Look at all my wealth, look at all my accomplishment, look at all my gold, look at all my silver, look at all my money. Chizkiyahu HaMelech trumped him with worldliness and not with godliness. And this is the story in Nach. Open up the Tana Devei Eliyahu. I'm quoting from the standard edition. I have to thank Yomo for bringing it to me from the Beis Medrash. Look into Eliyahu Rabbah, Perek Chet. And Eliyahu Rabbah, Perek Chet, Shelo Yachol Im Akum Al HaShulchan. No Jew should eat with a Gentile on one table. Shekein matzinu b'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda she'achalim akum al hashulchan ulasof ne'enash alav onish gadol. And here you see Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when this great king came to visit him, he was so overwhelmed by the act of friendship, he invited him, Gavali Boalav, V'achalim Akum, he ate with the Gentile, U'bishvil Shachalim Akum, he became friendly, he opened up, they drank, they became drunk, V'erelechem et Aron, he showed him even the Aron HaKodesh, V'gilah lechem Seyde El Yonim, And he revealed all his knowledge and what God has doing for the Jews and what God did for him. And ubischam aser Chizkiyahu, as a result of this action, God punished him by giving a son Menashe, a Rasha Sheberishayim. Mikan amru, as a result of this, the sages said, Kol ochel im akum al hashulchan ki ilu oved avodazora ve'ochel mizivchei metim, that if he eats with goyim at the same table, it's like he's eating in honor of idol worship, and you're eating from sacrifices that were brought to the animals. V'yim Talmud Chacham Hu, and if you're a Talmud Chacham, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a Talmud Chacham, Mizalzel et Torato, you're treating your Torah lightly, disrespectfully. U'machalel Shem Aviv Shebashamayim, you're being Mechalel God's name. U'mavazveis et Mamno, and ultimately you're getting rid of your money. Ma'beid et Banav, you're losing your children. Ma'pil otam b'cherev, u'magle otam me'atzam. And ultimately we all know what resulted from this. The destruction of the Holy Land, this temple, and the Jews being exiled, going into exile. And all of this can be traced to Chizkiyahu HaMelech willingly and voluntarily joining with this non-Jewish king, wining, dining, honoring him, halacha lemaisa, absolutely forbidden to eat at the same table with the Gentile. And Reb Menashe Klein goes even further, and he says, I'll bring you a proof that this is absolutely correct. He brings a proof from the Torah. Yosef HaTzadik, when he eats with his brothers, he eats separately from the Egyptians. And Reb Menashe Klein doesn't stress the fact that we always interpreted the Egyptians don't want to eat with the Jews. The Jews aren't good enough. Even Yosef HaTzadik, the viceroy of Egypt, the vice president, but he's not good enough. Reb Menashe Klein interprets it that Yosef HaTzadik set policy that he doesn't eat with the Egyptians. They are non-Jews. He is Jewish. And he doesn't want to compromise his commitment to God and to Torah and to wine and dine and drink with the non-Jews. And therefore, Reb Menashe Klein, towards the end of the Tshuvanim on page Reshut Zion, the second column, he says, look, if you have no choice, in my humble opinion, if you have to go to a wedding, don't eat or drink. Go in and wish the bride and groom, I was ready to say chatan v'kala, but they're not Jews, wish the parents well, minimize your participation. And he says it's best of all if you don't go at all. Don't show your face at their happy occasion. Ubifrat Mishenu Ochel Yeshto Terutzim Habe, says you can give them many answers why you're not there, and if they understand that you eat only kosher, then they will understand why you're not participating, and there will not be Eva. And if you have no choice, then he'll only be matir if it's a totally separate table. Perhaps mishum eva al shnei shulchanot yehudi ochel et shelo ve'akum shelo, it could be mishum eva, we could be matir. But nevertheless, he says, lachatchila, absolutely forbidden, and don't rejoice with the Gentiles. We're not part of their society. Zelechud v'zelechud. And he says, when it comes to people who work in a factory or work in an office, and he uses the English words here in transliteration, b'vatei chadoshet, factory, or be office, and it's their holiday, they eat turkey, he uses the word turkey, Thanksgiving, and they drink whiskey, and, you know, we rejoice, they rejoice, And he says, Jews and Gentiles together, the ein lecha goren gadol lechatunat bizeh, there's nothing which leads to intermarriage more than this social interaction, social intercourse. And he says, when they make a party at the office, and he uses the word party, he said, try your best not to be part of it. It's the Gemara insulted of Chafet that many Jews have fallen by the wayside, beginning with a party, beginning with drinking, beginning with wishing them happiness and well, and God have mercy what it leads to. V'hashameya yinam v'tavolav bracha tov yizkeh lechatanim lomdei Torah muvdalim mehem uvbanim uvnei banim oskim b'Torah v'mitzvot lishma. And he blesses anyone who will listen to him. He should be blessed by much bracha, chatanim who learn Torah, meaning probably in a kolel, totally separate from the Gentiles, not going to university, ubanim uvnei banim oskim b'Torah mitzvot lishma. Very fascinating bracha. All right, halacha lemaisa, this leaves us with one klal. And as I mentioned to Jack, in relation to Choshen Mishpat, it's very hard to spell out every situation. B'sofa shel davar, a rabbi, a posek, a dayan, you have to have the fifth Shulchan Aruch. And Shaitis like this, it's more than the Yoredeya that paskins, than the chush that the Jew has to have. And I can understand very well when you work in a big place, Boeing, Microsoft, Rabbi Tversky, what happened where you worked, parties, Kabbalat Panim, blessings, gifts, very hard to absent yourself. On the other hand, you have to make clear you're Jewish, you're makpid, you're observant. We now know in the White House there's a Hanukkah affair, there's a Pesach affair, they bring in a glatt kosher caterer. We know this I heard from Rabbi Jacobowitz, the good Lord himself, that his final official Shabbat is still the chief rabbi of the British Empire. The Queen invited him and his wife to spend the Shabbat with her in Windsor Castle, and it was catered glatt kosher. So you can't come along and say you can't eat with the Queen, you can't eat with the King, etc. Even with going to church there for official affairs, it's a question that has been discussed, and the chief rabbis do participate. Historically. So it's a very delicate question, but no doubt about it that the less social interaction on this level, the less intermarriage there will be. And this brings me to an Israeli question that I have very strong feelings for. A person who works for an Israeli establishment arrived from America. We had a big affair here with Bishvat Ami, and this person wanted a Coke, and he went into the nearest store. It was Saturday night, I believe, or it was Erev Shabbos. Went into the nearest store and bought a Coke, and that store happened to be Tiv Tam. And I told him, and he mentioned it to me, and I told him, in my humble opinion, it is absolutely forbidden for a Jew to buy anything in Tiv Tam. Misayeya lidei avera, not just misayeya lidei avera, but to run a trade supermarket in Israel, lahachiz, to sell white meat, lo aleinu, made in Mizra, there's no Chilul Hashem greater than this. And we don't have to help give them business. And this is one level where I feel we absolutely have to boycott, use the word boycott. It's a democracy. You have a right where to buy. And even a can of Coke, you don't buy in Tiv Tam. they advertise on the radio where we have these products, that products for Shavuos, cheese, and we're open Shabbat and Chag, and they stress the word Bechira Chavshit, people have Bechira. It hurts to hear that, because that's uprooting the entire concept of Torah. God demands, commands obedience. A pagan can do whatever he wants. A Jew, Baruch Hashem, is more limited. And I'll go one drop further, something else that troubles me. The area where I live, due to Yerushalayim, the population shift, they changed my area into, I would make a comparison, the Upper West Side, North Tel Aviv. The area is 80% Shomer Mitzvah today, but there are many apartments that people passed on, went to senior citizens' residencies, and they don't want to sell. The children who inherit don't want to sell. Why don't they want to sell? Because the area can only go up and up in price. It's very centrally located. You can walk to the Knesset, you can walk to the Great Synagogue, you can walk to the Kotel. It's limited. There's nowhere else where you can build there. So they rent the apartments out to Hebrew students. So I don't know if it's the Yiriyah or how it began, but establishment after establishment is open on Shabbos. On my block, Rav Chaim Berlin, there are more homosexual flags, the tricolor, whatever you want to call it, the multicolor, than any other street in Jerusalem. And the street is 80% from. It's offensive to me, but if you know what's going on today, what the headlines are, the pagan world doesn't give a hoot. If you say only a mother and father are a real family, they'll make you take the sign down. If you say homos and lesbians are totally normative and wonderful and good, that fact that it offends 80% of the local people does not bother any of the pagans. That's the world in which we live, unfortunately. So these places are open on Shabbos. Occasionally I see someone sitting there during the week drinking a Coke with a kippah on his head. I don't believe it's proper to purchase a Coke in a place that is Mechalel Shabbos, that is treif, that serves, it says Pesach time, regular menu. Those are code words that bread is available. This is the state of Israel. Rakefet is not a fanatic, but if we're going to have a Jewish state, if we're going to survive here, the public thoroughfare has to be Jewish. Not what the Shmatrit said, halachic. You don't know what went on. People showed me in Germany, they published articles that if the state of Israel becomes halachic, they'll execute people for driving on Shabbos. Stone them. They quoted from the Torah, go and teach these people what Torah Shabbat is and Torah Shabbat Pez and this Mishnah and Makot and a baiting that executes, etc. 170 years, etc., etc. Go and educate. We have to be a Jewish state. Everyone has free choice. You want to be a pagan? Be a pagan. Gesundheit. But the public thoroughfare has to be Jewish. Otherwise, we don't have a right to the state of Israel. We're only here because we are B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If we act like the New York Times, what do we have to do with Judaism, with the Jewish state? When we act like B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the public thoroughfare, then everyone understands this state is unique. Bein amim lo yitchashev, goy levadad yishkon. Everyone understands that. Okay, so that's just a follow-through on what this tshuva is about. And it's one tshuva after another. We live in the Western world. How do we interact? How do we relate? Jew, non-Jew, the whole concept of eva, how far can we go? Tzafra tava, in contradistinction to eating and drinking joyously together. Okay. But now we come to one of the most fascinating tshuvot of Reb Menashe Klein. And a tshuva that reveals who he is, where he's coming from. I would not advise anyone to publish this tshuva in the New York Times. And we'll deal with it as best we can. First of all, what am I talking about? Mishnah Halacha. Mishnah Halacha. Chelek Hei. Siman Kuf Mem Aleph. Siman Kuf Mem Aleph. Okay. I just want to be sure it's Hey and not Chet. Always it's Chelek Hei. Okay. Sometimes in print, the Hey and Chet look very similar. And the Tshuva is written in 1968. It's written to a Talmud in Yeshiva Pels. So it's interesting, as we've seen from Lakewood, from Pels, from the entire Hasidic world, the YU world as well, people turn to Reb Menashe Klein. Tshuva was written right after the Six-Day War. The name of the person asking, HaBachur Shmuel HaKohen Kan, Talmud B'Yeshivat HaKadosha Pels. Okay, let me begin with a personal story. A number of years ago, I was walking up the hill to Gruss from the Machon Lev parking lot, and I fell. It was about the second time I fell that week, and I couldn't get up. And some Machon Lev boys saw me, ran over, lifted me up, helped me start walking again. All right, I didn't realize that I had meniscus, that my knee joints were going, which is, for men more than women, part of the aging process. I suffer from it until today. It's right after that happened, I was walking from my office to Sherry's office, and suddenly I heard a click, and my knees went. And I was very soon at the doctor's, and the diagnosis was correct, meniscus. Now, why am I telling you this? Because at times a person falls, particularly an older person or a heavy person, and they can't get up on their own. And that's the very shaila here. This yeshiva boy evidently was walking along, and a woman fell. And the question is, can you lift up the woman? And he says, the question, Reb Menashe Klein calls it, you have asked me two questions. Number one, if a Gentile woman falls, is it permissible to help her stand up? L'saya lakum. And at times it could very well be the woman herself will say, to the passerby who happens to be Jewish, please help me stand up. And you know, that's a terrible feeling when you fall and you can't get up. Hashem Yirachem. But we're only humans, and we live longer today, and of course we are victims of all these type of happenings. And imagine if the lady asks you, help me, help me. And the poor person asking says, can I help her? It's a chol Hashem, he says, if I don't help. And he says, but my question is not so hard, because I'm talking about the winter. And people generally wear a lot of clothes in the winter, so you're not touching the flesh. And what is he referring to? Let's imagine she's wearing a coat, she's wearing gloves, it's the winter. So you're not actually touching her flesh. That's one question. Second question, this fella is not lazy. He analyzes very nicely. Second question, he asks Reb Menashe Klein, Im kara kazeh b'isha yisraelit? And he says, what about if this is a Jewish woman? And there's no chil Hashem there if I don't help her. I'm not certain he's right, but okay, there's no chil Hashem, because the Jewish lady, he says, will know why I'm not picking her up. In other words, a lady fell with a shaitel, with long sleeves, obviously religious lady, And this guy who's walking by and turns his head is wearing the uniform, what Rakefet calls the portable ghetto. Whenever you use that word, give credit, I have a copyright on it. People have told me it's my greatest witticism ever, but be it as it may, the portable ghetto. So she knows why he's not picking her up. And that's, again, he's asking a Jewish woman. And then he asked the $64 question. V'yemyesh b'zeh chiluk ben penuya li'eshet ish. Is there a difference between a lady who is not married, a penuya, or an eshet ish? And this is the question that he is asking Rav Menashe Klein. Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay. Now, I don't have to tell you, there's a Gemara in Sita. It's a very well-known Gemara. I believe it's Daf Chaf Bet. What's a chassid shelter? What is a stupid chassid? If you see a lady drowning, and you don't save her life because she's a lady not wearing a bathing suit. Nowadays, it's not hard to understand what's happening. The lady's wearing a bikini. Might as well say she's nude. And the chassid doesn't save her life because he doesn't want to be exposed to a nude lady. The Gemara calls this individual, let me say it in my language, a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, surreptitious, malevolent, no good, bummy, idiot. You let the woman drown because she's wearing a bikini? You have to save her. So that's an open Gemara, and you can't argue with an open Gemara, and all of us can understand that saving a person's life is more important than any other consideration. But in all these cases that Rav Menashe Klein was asked, he was asked about, it's not a question of saving a life, it's helping the person stand up. For the sake of argument, when I fell down, the story I told you, I still remember it vividly because it was cold. It was during the winter. All right, so if Konlev Boyce had not seen me, I would have lied on the ground an hour, a half hour, 2 hours. Nothing would have happened to me. It would be very uncomfortable. Maybe I would have crawled up the hill. I know that people have crawled. They're lying on the ground, they turn over, and they crawl till someone sees them. But I wouldn't have died. There wouldn't have been any damage to the limb. Whatever damage there was. It happened already, past tense. So Rav Menashe Klein, it's not exactly the Gemara in Saita. Here already there's more of a Shiloh, a non-Jewish woman, a Jewish woman, a Betulah, a Shadish, a woman wearing gloves, etc., etc. Okay, now we come to the heart of Rav Menashe Klein speaking. Let me quote Rakefet again, Washington. I make the point in Washington, the average person and even my wonderful students sitting in front of me and looking at me from the screen, if I were to ask you how many people Hitler destroyed, you'd say 6 million. Correct, he killed 6 million. He destroyed the lives of at least another 5 million, may even be a lot more because the second generation was affected, the third generation was affected. And I would say even yours truly, I wasn't in Europe, but my whole life, as we'll see tomorrow in class, was shaped by what happened in World War II. So you got to understand what Rav Menashe Klein went through. He suffered. He was in the camps. He saw the worst. He saw Jews being killed before his eyes. It has to impact upon you. You can not come out of it not being influenced by what Gentiles were capable of doing. And I've said this many times. I've often struggled with the thought, we took the reparations money. Rakefet is walking in Machne Yehuda. There's a whole group of German tourists. I'm telling you a true story. And they asked me directions, and I spoke with them, and I was nice to them. Maybe I should have taken out a gun and killed every last one of them. How do we take money from Germany? But you can, Menashe Klein went through the hell. I wind up with a different outcome. I say, what will be accomplished by spitting in their face? And then I always fall back on what I've seen in life. There are Germans who risk their lives to save Jews. There are Germans who converted to Judaism and became 100% from Jews to atone for what their parents did. And I can tell you, but Didi Havayudra, I'm not talking something foreign from me. My own brother-in-law's wife's sister, in other words, my sister-in-law by marriage, her sister, older sister, married a German convert. He's no longer alive. Lived in Bnei Brak, raised a family, Kulam Tahorim Mesurim Kedoshim Lidvach Hashem. He made a living, by the way. He was a correspondent writing in German for German newspapers. And he told me he converted to atone for the sins of his parents. That's why he converted. And he's not the only one. This comes up time and time and time again. So there can't be total hatred. By the way, that lady, remember I told you my grandson went up to this lady and took her down to the bomb shelter during the last war, 2 weeks ago. That's the lady. She's widowed today, and she lives in Givat Shmuel. And by chance, my grandson is renting in an apartment in the exact same building where she lives. And we all know her because she's part of our greater family. Reb Menashe Klein has a very shocking viewpoint. He says here that, basically speaking, all Gentiles today are chayav mitah, according to the Rambam. And we'll explain it. All Gentiles. Menashe Klein speaking. Why to save a Gentile's life? There's a concept in the Gemara, Moridin v'ein Malin, Malin v'ein Moridin. You know what I'm talking about. Look into the Rambam, Hilchot Mamrim, Perik Gimel, the first part, you'll see. Concept of the Gemara and Apikoros. Try to kill him if you can. So if no one is looking and he went into a pit, don't help him up. Let him suffocate there. If he climbed into a tree, take the ladder away, let him go. Gentiles obligated to kill them. Why? How? When? So Menashe Klein holds, if a Gentile doesn't observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, Chayiv Mitah. And this is, those of you familiar with the Sugya in Sanhedrin, the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim, this is the big difference between a Jew and a Gentile. A Jew, if I do a sin, so I'm chayiv akob mchatat, I'm chayiv malkat, I'm chayiv great. Very rarely is there mitat beitin. A Gentile does a sin, he's chayiv mitah, period. And you have the Sheva Mitzvot, we have Tayak Mitzvot, all with various degrees of holiness, reward and punishment. They have Sheva Mitzvot that are the basis of human civilization. And if they don't observe, they're Chayav Mitah. I ask another question. What do you mean they don't observe? There's some Gentiles who are pious, 100%. The evangelists, if I'm pronouncing it right, just now in the news, are going crazy against Bennett, destroying the Jewish state. And many of these people are very observant and very serious about their relationship with God? How can Reb Menashe Klein say that all the Gentiles are chayav mita? How can this be? And let me ask another question. How do you punish someone who doesn't know? I'll give you a simple example. It's a sugya we've spoken about in many different contexts. Hamitraye ben Akum, a Jew converted. He was a Gentile. He studied with Rabbi Reuben. And the textbook they used, a few pages were missing. And he didn't know about Shabbat. I'm paraphrasing the Gemara on Shabbos, Klal Gadol, the whole sugya, Sarach Bet, Samach Gimel, etc. Reb Moshe Feinstein, endless material on this. And then he finds out about Shabbat. He's not punished. He has to bring a kopim chatat. So the Gemara is not punished. No mitat beitin, no malka, nothing. Kopim chatat. And the Gemara wants to know, does he bring for every Shabbat? Or one kabban is sufficient? It's a fascinating question. Here you have Gentiles. What do we want out of them? Did they go to yeshiva? Did they learn Masechet Sanhedrin? Did they learn about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? This is, I remember in Shir in Sanhedrin, we had a Talmud, a Chavei, Shaya Balin. He's a real character, a real genius. Shaya, he lived down the block from me, Washington Avenue, but parents were European. I think they ran away from Hitler in the mid-30s, got to America. And Shaya, suddenly he asked the Rav, Rebbe, was haben gelernt in Yeshivat Shem Ve'Ever? If they didn't have the Torah yet, what did they study in Yeshivat Shem Ve'Ever? And the Rav, who had a good sense of humor, shot back at him, was fragt man mir? Ich hab nicht gewendet dort nach Rosh Yeshiva. What are you asking me? I wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva there. But of course, what they learned in Shem Ve'Ever is Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Now, this poor woman who fell, the non-Jewish woman, did she go to yeshiva? Did she learn by Shem Ve'Ever? Did she know the Sheva Mitzvot? What does Reb Menashe Klein want out of her? How can he make such an extreme statement? Chayev Mita. What are you asking about helping them stand up? Rejoice that you see God's hand here. My dear students, I'll show you the sources for Menashe Klein next week and uncover one of the most fascinating Rambams you will ever see. PhDs have been done on it at Hebrew U, at Bar Ilan. But I want to end off the class. I don't want you to walk away just quoting Reb Menashe Klein's attitude. And here in honor of Eli, I'm going to tell you a story. And the story speaks for itself. Let me water my vocal cords before they disappear on me. Tell you a story. 21 years ago, it began 23 years ago, someone called me, could he come to my shiurim? I didn't know who the person was. I said, anyone can come. I'm the happiest person in the world. I have more Talmidim. I rejoice. So for 2 years, he studied me. He was an Olech Hadash from Australia. I didn't realize he was the partner of Yessel Gutnick. And they had, he felt I made enough money. And in 2 years, he just took off to learn. Afterwards, he went on to do business here. And he has a son who's prominent. You read his articles in Jerusalem Post, very brilliant. And in Australia then had been Chabatnikim. Today he's a Biyana. And he arranged for me to visit Australia. And they were very hesitant because the head of the Mizrahi there is a right-winger. And they knew that the Rav was not that right-winger. Rabbi Lichtenstein was not that right-wing. They checked me out. Thank God I got the stump full of approval that Rakefet is a little bit different than some of the other YU people. He is a right-winger. Baruch Hashem. So I was spent a wonderful month in Australia. And the Shabbat in Melbourne, I davened with the Bnei Akiva, with the youth, then I gave a shir, and then they took me on a tour of the area to show me all the different shuls. And as we're approaching a very big shul, a whole group of people are coming out, it's after 11 o'clock, it's after davening, long beards, and my guy tells me, these people aren't Jewish. I said, what? And then we catch up with them, and they introduce me. Oh, Shabbat Shalom. Oh, we're happy to have you. We are followers of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Noachites. And you see, the Rebbe had a whole division of Bnei Noach. And I couldn't believe it. These Jews, no, we're not Jews, but we do come to shul on the Sabbath. And the Rebbe told us we have to observe the Sheva Mitzvot. I couldn't believe how intelligent they were. And then if you catch up with Lubavitch on YouTube with the Rebbe giving out dollars, you'll see one scene where there's a group of Gentile businessmen from Texas in the oil business. And you can hear them saying to the Rebbe, Rebbe, we are your Hasidim. They can't say Hasidim. They can't say Hanukkah. They say Hanukkah. We are your Hasidim. We observe the seven basic commandments. So you see what a difference between the Lubavitcher Rebbe to Reb Menashe Klein. But Amolam Etzkut and Reb Menashe Klein, the Lubavitcher Rebbe did experience part of the Holocaust. He was in France, he was in Paris, right or wrong. But he got out in 1941. Reb Menashe Klein went through the hell of the Holocaust, the displaced camps, Paris, Eli Wiesel, and finally Borough Park and Ramot in the State of Israel. To reiterate, what did we do today? All right, we're in the middle. We're not going to finish all this. Whatever we leave off, we'll pick up next term exactly where we left off. But Jew-Christian relations, the interaction. Right now in New York, what's going on with the politicians? Who will run for mayor? Who will the Torah Jews support? What about if the mayor's elected and he gives a banquet of happiness on his election with five glatt kosher tables? Ellie, believe me, they're going to be a lot of big beards at those tables. Got it? The Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara, the Tana Deva Eliyahu, Reb Menashe Klein, Mishum Eva, Dake Shalom. What a fascinating topic. Where do you draw the line? Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Wow, what a story. Show them all the treasures. Boasting what he accomplished. Should have been a lot more humble and quieter in showing off your wealth. All right? Kana Devei Eliyahu. Then we raised an issue, and we're going to spend next week's shiur on the issue. Do you help the lady that fell? Non-Jewish, Jewish, clothes on, gloves. We'll be dealing with all these issues. But where does Reb Menashe Klein get the idea? Chayav Mita? Show you the sources next week. Yes, Rat Hashem. Tomorrow, I would not miss the class for all the new rockets that Israel wants to acquire from America. for the Iron Dome. They say $1 billion worth. Well, if you love Torah, tomorrow she is probably worth more than $1 billion. We finish out Dr. Joe, Gary Torgo, and then on to the big three, Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach, Rabbi Meir Kahana, and Rebbetzin Esther Jungreis. Once again, exactly where we leave off next week is where we pick up next term, Be'ezrat Hanotein La'yalov Koleich. All right, let me just go through a few freebies. I wish I could give this out, so I'm very happy it's that you have the printout. I don't have to give it to you. And I thank Rabbi Grimstein for being so capable and helping us halachically. I want to finally end off on a sad note, and we live with this, and Rabbi Grinstein, two sad notes. Rabbi Grinstein, Yehoshua, who's a student, son of a student, his father, Zichrono Livracha, Tzvi, Harry, early years, BMT, life changed by the experience. And when I was Menachem Mavel on Friday, they knew in advance I was coming. A whole group of my students were there, how their lives changed from studying at BMT, at Mechlala, at Grus, at Machon Gold, Midrashet Moriah. So Baruch Hashem, we have a little bit of a good track record. With this LGBTQ club, what's going on with YU? So Rabbi Grinstein was happy YU has gone to court, it's trying to defend itself. I've spoken with lawyers, no one believes YU has a good chance here. In other words, if you live in a pagan society, they set the rules. And if you take money, you gotta dance to the tune. I do think a lot depends upon who the judge is. At times, it's like Israel. There's a judge that anyone, any Arab in East Jerusalem who spits in a Jew's face, the Jewish judge will let him out without bail. Nothing, he did nothing wrong, he just spat in a Jew's face. It's a right-wing Jew, you have a right to spit in. It depends who the judge is, as we know. As we know in America with the Supreme Court, as we know here with the Beit Din. With the Beit Mishpat Gavoha. So while he was going to court, it's trying to defend itself. Why Yeshiva University cares deeply for and welcomes all of our students, including our LGBTQ students. We continue to be engaged in a productive dialogue with our rabbis, faculty, and students, and how we apply our Torah values to create an inclusive undergraduate campus environment. And they're trying to stress the idea that they take any student, they don't ask questions as far as that goes, but they can't have a club because it goes against Torah. Well, let's see what the judge has to say about this. I'm happy to see other lawyers are getting involved, the whole organization that fights the paganist society and provides legal help for free. Nikavele tov, but I'm far from rejoicing. The other concept I want to touch upon, and I was very moved. A number of people sent me clippings. It's 80 years since the death of Lou Gehrig. And you're correct, I grew up in the shadow of Lou Gehrig, the shadow of that famous speech. My father saw Lou Gehrig play, saw Babe Ruth play. It was a different Bronx, a different New York Yankees. I don't even mention the New York Yankees of today. One great disgrace for any youngster born in the Bronx. The fact that yours truly and Rabbi David Miller and Rabbi Avishai David have to walk around with a label, "We are proud Bronxites." I'm now adding to that label, "We are depressed and disgraced by the play of the present-day New York Yankees." But we grew up in the shadow of Lou Gehrig and Lou Gehrig disease, etc. What's sad is it's 80 years later, and we still don't have a cure for the disease. One of my great friends, great Talmud Chacham, you all know who I'm talking about, Rabbi Binyamin Tabori, died of the disease a few years ago, suffered many years with it. I know others, and I know research is being done. I know Israel, there's a lot happening here, but somehow we still don't have the breakthrough. And here I say to all the youngsters who don't want to teach Torah, they feel they're not capable enough, don't have enough knowledge. It may be true, but you have to find a profession. If you have the ability, go into research, go into medical research, go into biology. I know it's being done. I know what my grandson did at the Technion, his PhD in biology. Go for it. We have good heads. Not everyone can be a Gaon in Torah. And being a Gaon in Torah is the most important thing in life, and teaching Torah the most important. I don't doubt it or deny it or second guess it. But if you can hit another profession where you feel you'll be better, look towards medical research. Push the money aside. Push the prestige aside. But go for it. Go for it. Someone who's learned Shas and Paiskim, you know how to deal with a Rashi and a Tosfot and how to analyze, transfer it, apply it. What an achievement. May I quote the Rav in Isha Halacha, Milu et ha'aretz v'kivshuha. That's the way Mori Rebbe interprets it. So I want to thank the people. The Lugeric story, it's quite a story. His wife, her devotion to him, she never remarried, devoted her life to perpetuating his memory. He Columbia University student. He was not a dull individual. And what a ball player. What consistency. And look how he was cut down in the prime of life. All right, that's Lou Gehrig. And I tell you a side story. I always was angry at the Yankees. Hank Greenberg was a Bronxite. He grew up around the corner from my father. He was 1 year older than my father. He played, or 1 year younger than my father. He played sandlot baseball in Crotona Park. My father played with him. And he came from a Shomer Shabbos home, Hank Green, right around the corner from my father, right off Washington Avenue. And I always wondered, why didn't the Yankees sign him up? He was top quality. And many years later, I found out Hank Greenberg, Taco, was a Bronx boy. He was interested in being with the Yankees. But he came to watch the Yankees play. He saw Lou Gehrig. And he said, I'll never have a chance, because he was a first baseman and he evidently was not fast enough or quick enough to be a second baseman, a shortstop. Those positions are all more difficult than first base. And figured, no chance, Lou Gehrig is a fixture for life. Wasn't that much younger than Lou Gehrig. So he wound up in Detroit. And as they say, the rest is history. My dear students sitting in front of me, are there any questions? If they're not, I say to you, thank you for honoring me with your presence into we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya. Yomo, can you turn it open to the world if there are any questions on the other side of Israel or the other side of the ocean? Open it up. Can you speak? Any questions? Jack, yes?
Have you ever dealt with, maybe you have, I don't remember, when people want to, non-Jews want to come to us for a Shabbat meal, the Seder, the Sukkah.
We've dealt with it. The problem is not Shabbat. The problem is Yontif, because you're not allowed to cook extra food. But we already said a lot of the contemporaries of today, the Achronim, if the food is cooked before Yontif, it's not a shaylef, it's a caterer, and if you have ample food.
You might might end up marrying them. I mean, they, you know,
So, Jack, once again, I come back to the fifth Shulchan Aruch. If this lady wants to come to your house because she's 19 years old and she's in love with your 21-year-old son, it's one thing. But if it's a 49-year-old lady who's happily married and she wants to come to your house to see what Torah's about, she sees how beautiful the Jewish people are, she sees how beautiful Shabbat is, Kashrut is, our sexual behavior, how we're not animals, we're not pagans. Adarabba the Adarabba, invite her and her husband. And there again, I have to give Chabad credit. I was sitting at this retreat a few years ago. What a hotel in Palm Springs. Yeah, never saw so much Olam Hazeh in your life. And the food, what was available. And not everyone can come. You have to have studied, I think, for 2 years in their adult education programs to be eligible to come to this retreat. And there were many people there with non-Jewish spouses. And I couldn't believe it. How did they get connected? They saw the beauty, and some of them want to bring their husbands or their wives in. By the way, the women go much quicker than the men. They're much more honest, much more spiritual. So the answer is a little seichel. Invite them, b'kavod gadol. And you know that the Shaila came up with the Chief Rabbi Herzog had the first American ambassador was a real Ohev Yisrael. Anyone remember his name? McDonald. There's a street in Herzliya, I believe it is, on Netanya, named for him. Even the shul is called the McDonald Shul. He was a guest Rav Herzog at the Sefer. Rav Gorin had the American ambassador, etc. All right, the present Jewish ambassador and the one before him and the one before him, now it's a minhag, it's a Jew. So that's not a shaila. You can invite the Friedman to your Seder and he'll know more Divrei Torah than you will. So Baruch Hashem, Ashrenu Shezachinu. But that's the answer, halacha l'maisa. Yes, any other questions? I see no one. Okay, let me wish everyone well and thank you for honoring me with your presence. Tomorrow morning is another day and I wouldn't miss this year for all the infighting on the social websites in America about the past President Trump and the internet and locking him off and locking him on and the pagans who are absolutely right, and we, idol worshippers, are absolutely wrong. It's an amazing world. Olam hafuch ani roeh degemarim baba batra, and it was never truer than in the year 2021. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya. And I got to thank Yomo for taking care of the internet today. God bless him. And everything was good. You heard me. I didn't go on and off at times. I can't hear.
They went on and off a little bit.
We went through your phone today?
No.
So tomorrow, please, your phone. Okay. Any complaints to Yomo? Yomo, show your face here. Don't think I'm making it up. Please, come into the picture. Show your face. All right, until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya. Okay. Okay. Baruch Hashem.
Oh, I forgot to stop recording. I just wanted to...